Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 21st day of April, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for the meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is The Beast Revealed. And before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah, or Yahweh, in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. We will take callers later on in the program. We do ask that you use proper etiquette on the call and not walk on other people that may be on the call. And also be careful of the language that you use. We are in the question and answer mode on free conference call, which means when you call in or join by computer, you will be muted until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. And then when it is your turn, I will unmute you and we will have our discussion. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's Pastor Dan, altogether, no spaces, .net. And of course, we do recommend you check the Daily Mail page there as often as you can, because we're putting up stuff regularly, especially in light of the fact that so much is going on in the world, and especially here in our country at this time. Lots and lots of things going on. We'll start off here with John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Yahweh in a flesh body. We've talked about that many, many times. Okay, Angel says your sound is good, so thank you, Angel, for letting me know that. One of our long-term listeners sent me a piece of a book called The Warrior. Actually, the book is called A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior, and then this article is entitled The Warrior in the Modern Age. The book was written by Stefan Verstappen, and he has a quote in there by Rear Admiral Bradley Fisk, who wrote the book The Art of Fighting back in 1920. I have a PDF copy of that book. And indeed, this quote is found on page 371 of that book. So I told Lane that I would read this, and I think it's appropriate because the beast revealed, as we have spoken about on this broadcast many, many times, the beast is governments. Now, the governments have many different pieces to them, and the government is in bed with organized religion, the organized central banking cartels, the major institutions such as education, and they are in bed with the media, and they are in bed with many of the foreign leaders to our detriment. So governments, and again, government, govern means to control, ment is shortened for mentality, again going back to the Latin, meaning controlling your mind, controlling what you believe, controlling what you think is true, government. Okay, same thing with the word religion. Okay, today we have mainstream religions, but they have no power because there is no spirit of the living God in them. They're simply institutions with the, quote, form of godliness. And of course, anytime somebody mentions the form of godliness without any power in it, the Roman Catholic Church comes to mind. It's all show, no substance. In fact, it's quite corrupt and evil and immoral. But it exemplifies the verse that's talking about that. It has a form of godliness. They got ornate buildings. They got priests and bishops and cardinals running around in these opulent clothing, costly raiments, all kinds of jewelry and trinkets, etc. But where's the power? In fact, Coach Dave Davimir had a program on today where he was talking about the fact that many of the people in his circles are reporting back to him there is a revival going on today, and it's outside of the mainstream churches, not in the churches, outside of the churches. In fact, it's interesting, the patriotic community and all the things that are going on across the country, where are the preachers and pastors? Where? They're not to be found. Not the mainstream. Now, guys like Coach Davimir, etc., they're there. But I'm talking about these, quote, seminary-trained prostitutes that we have. Where the hell are they? So, lots going on. Of course, we're hearing all the negative stuff. I spoke today with our retired police officer, James Lancia. He'll be coming on the program very soon once he gets his new website up and running, his new video website. And we're going to be talking about some of the things going on and things that we might be able to do. So lots and lots of things are happening, and it's not all bad. Now, the mainstream media wants to think that way, but it's not all bad. I just saw a video that was put up on one of the platforms, not YouTube and not Twitter, but one of the alternatives. And this young worker who was up in a tower right above one of these so-called stations to issue the jab. And this is in a highly democratic area now, which means it's in the heart of the beast, the communists. And he showed that he had been there from 7 o'clock in the morning till the afternoon, and he counted two cars in all that time. Only two cars came to get the vaccine. So maybe it's different where we're at, but I'm just saying there are areas where people are waking up and refusing to put this poison in their body. And so hallelujah for that, because this stuff is toxic, it's untested, it's experimental by its own definition by the manufacturers and many of the other people that are dealing with this stuff. Doctors, nurses, immunologists, etc. are all putting the information out there now. So I don't know why anybody with a brain that functions would put this crap in your body. And besides that, even if it wasn't dangerous, it doesn't buy you anything. Your handlers, these people who want to call themselves your government officials and medical officials, who are for the most part criminals, they're not going to loosen up on you, and they're not going to let you return to, quote, normal activities or a normal version of what you think is normal. They're not going to allow you to do that even when you acquiesce to take the poison and put it in your body. So why in the hell would you put it in? I just don't get it. I don't get it. And again, thank you, Angel, for putting that up there. Angel is a retired cardiothoracic intensive care unit nurse. That's pretty impressive. My sister, before she passed, was in a cardiothoracic intensive care portion of the hospital where she worked before she passed. So I'm pretty familiar with those folks. To my sorrow, it's nothing against them, the nurses especially. They tried to comfort my sister. But the medical administration and the doctors, I wouldn't, as some people used to say back home, to show my contempt, I wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire. That shows you the contempt I have for him. So, again, don't mean to be vulgar, but these are serious times. And it's time that the men learn to be lions again, okay? And really, that's why I'm glad that Lane had sent me this article here, The Warrior in the Modern Age, because when we talk about lions, that's a euphemism for the warrior. I just downloaded some PDF books that go into the Bushido code of the samurai warrior in Japan. And you got to remember, samurai means a servant. And if you look at the costumes and the white face and the shaved head and all of the samurai, what do you think they were centuries ago when they first came on the scene in ancient Japan? Let me give you a hint. Can you say Aryans? Ancient Israelites who had been in the area started the tradition of the samurai. If you read their code of conduct and all the things that they exemplify, tell me you don't see the fingerprints of our warrior class all over it. That's not going to take away from the modern Japanese people, but it's based on a culture much like Buddhism. The original Buddha was an Aryan. So was Confucius. Okay, the original Khans, what's the word Khan of ancient China? Khan is a Hebrew word. It means leader, ruler. So who do you think ruled over China or the land where China is today, that area of the world, many, many, many centuries ago? Again, Adam was put here to administer. We were the purveyors of law and order when we carried Yahweh's word about. And again, you don't have to believe me. Check it for yourself. Okay? I've never asked anybody to believe me about anything I talk about on here. I'm simply stating to you what I have come to know, and I'm sharing it. That's all. I'm not trying to tell you what to do or not do. I'm not trying to be condescending or critical. I'm simply expressing what I know and giving a platform to voices that don't have a platform out there, which is what we've been doing for 21 years. So anyway, The Warrior in the Modern Age. This is an excerpt from the book with the title, A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. And it was written by Stefan Verstappen, which is Verstappen. And he starts off with a quote from a book called The Art of Fighting, written by Rear Admiral Bradley Fisk in 1920. Long, continuous periods of peace and prosperity have always brought about the physical, mental, and moral deterioration of the individual. In other words, when things are going well, we tend to get soft. Soft in the belly, soft in the head. So, continuing on then with Mr. Verstappen's portion of his book, A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior, the phrase, the way of the warrior, has its origins in ancient history and even prehistory and mythology. So what relevance does this school of thought have in modern society? The relevance turns out to be of vital importance to everyone, since without warriors, tyranny and slavery is the result. Tyrannies throughout history have a repeated pattern of doing everything they can to eliminate warriors from their population. Let's stop here for a minute. What's happening here in the United States and virtually every white nation on earth where the communists are trying to take over? When I say communists, I'm talking about the Zionist Jew communists who are following the same protocols they took Tsarist Russia over and after that oppressed many millions of people across this earth. Okay? Same people, same modus operandi, And it's happening in our white nations today, especially here in the United States, because we are the freest of the white nations, and we are the most armed of the white nations, and we still have a significant portion of the male population who knows how to be a warrior. The reasons are obvious. Warriors are the ones that always stir up trouble for tyrants. They are the ones that will speak out against oppression, that will stand up to cruelty, and that will fight and die for freedom. Warriors are also the grassroots leaders around whom disgruntled citizens will gather and unite to provide a uniformed front, or I should say a unified front, against injustice. Warriors are self-reliant and not easily swayed by mob thinking or peer pressure, and less likely to be influenced by lies and propaganda. Warriors are also trained to perceive threats and dangers, and are thus the first to discover a tyrant's sinister scheme. All these qualities make warriors anathema to psychopathic power structures. Without the local leadership, courage, and critical thinking warriors provide for their communities, the rest of the population is rudderless and thus easily manipulated and controlled by the state. Let's stop here for a minute. The state equals the beast in your prophecies within Scripture. Warriors are like white blood cells in society's immune system. Whenever foreign invaders or disease enters the body, the white blood cells attack to defend the body. Without warriors in a society, that society becomes vulnerable to foreign invaders or disease from the inside. Stop here for a minute. Inside, as in the United States and Canada and virtually every white nation, as we have Zionist traitors eating us out from the inside, like a cancer. As in every civilization in the past, our current regimes are doing everything in their power to rid our culture of the positive masculine principles embodied in the way of the warrior. Instead of a warrior's self-reliance, we are told to depend on the state. Instead of a warrior's courage, we are told to be in constant fear by the state. Instead of a warrior defending himself and family, we are told to wait for the state to send men, always too late, to defend us. Instead of a warrior's ability to reason and think critically, the state has dumbed down the educational system to the point where few ever learn to think at all, and most people think only what the state wants them to think. However, all this is still not enough to quell the fears of the psychopaths in power. They need to eradicate the very wellspring of the warrior way, and that is masculinity itself. Through a multi-pronged attack of public education, media manipulation, political correctness, feminism, and social Marxism, also Judaism, the state has made simply being born a male something to be fearful and suspicious of. Not only has government education succeeded in robbing children of their intelligence and creativity, it is also robbing them of any courage. That the state has already gone too far to undermine the foundations of the warrior spirit bodes ill, as anyone who has studied history can attest. Thus, following the way of the warrior in the modern age is of utmost importance, since it is the last bulwark against total slavery. Excellent. Excellent little piece, and spot on. As we talked about lions, and James Lancia said when his last time on the program, it's time for men to be lions again. Where Are the Lions? This book can be found on eBay and on Amazon. The Amazon price is approximately $30, and that includes shipping. Their write-up or review of the book says this: A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior is a unique and comprehensive guide to the principles and practices of the warrior's way as spiritual path, combat training, and antidote for our society's decline and destruction. Very well put. That's one of the things that even in the Japanese Bushido manuals of the samurai and the warrior class of ancient Japan, they were very spiritual. They honored life. A lot of people think being a warrior means you just want to go around killing people. It's quite the opposite, actually. The warrior class regarded the average person did. It's much like we talk about here. A warrior prepares for war, but he prays for peace. A warrior of all people knows the horrors of war. Anybody that tells you war is glorious is a liar. War is not glorious. It's ugly from start to finish. But as the Bushido code of the samurai says, the only way to cause bad people who are violent to behave themselves is for good men to be better at violence than they are. And I'm sort of paraphrasing that, which makes common sense. In other words, these punks and thugs and whatnot that run around our society causing all the problems, it's the warrior's job to be better at violence than they are. Because when we commit violence against them, it's for a moral reason. And the only reason a real warrior rise up and commit violence is because other people are doing bad things. You leave us alone and we don't bother anybody. But if you harm those that we care about, if you bring the fight to us, the warrior will do everything they can to exterminate the enemy. Not make peace with the enemy. I don't like this reconciliation bullshit I keep hearing about. I don't plan on reconciling with my enemy. I believe that our job is to exterminate our enemies. Exactly as the good book says. You want to commit murder, you will die. You want to rape, you will die. You want to become a pedophile, you will die. You want to drink adrenochrome, you will die. If you wish to kidnap, you will die. If you commit treason against us, you will die. How much simpler can it be? I don't see any reconciliation in that. Don't hand me this bullshit that that's what Jesus taught. No, he didn't either. He only taught the turning of the cheek and praying for those who war against you when it was my spiritual and DNA brother who caused me harm. That's the only time. And that brother had better repent. A repentant brother, I'm talking sincerely repentant brother, he deserves to be reconciled with in order to keep the fellowship. Exactly what the good book says. But these other people who are not my spiritual brothers, not my DNA brothers, no, there's no recompense with them. There's no reconciliation. Only extermination. That's it. Exactly as Obadiah at verse 18 says, exactly as chapter 4 of Malachi says, and exactly as Ezekiel chapter 25 says. Three witnesses, and there are others, telling you exactly what we're supposed to do. The book is divided into three sections. Foundation, examine the origins and history of the warrior's spiritual path and martial arts. Topics include the Dark Knight, the Mystic Warrior, the Warrior as Shaman, the Warrior in the Modern Age, the Warrior in the Future, Principal Practices Internal examines the mind and senses. Topics include awareness and perception, visualization, breathing, energy, overcoming fear, pain and anger, leadership, external. Examines the mechanics of mind-body integration and hand-to-hand combat. Topics include movement and form, the five animal styles, hand-to-hand combat, combat strategy and tactics, weapons, and the warrior's code, the complete guide to awakening the warrior within. So like I said, I plan on getting a copy of this. I just found it here. Again, you can go to either eBay or Amazon and get a copy. And it was, again, recommended by one of our listeners. I think it's a great idea. I know Jamie Walden has been preparations for the Christian Warrior material, I think, for almost a year now. Because we've reached that point, folks. We are in a spiral downward, and there is no coming out of this save the righteous standing up and doing what the righteous should have been doing all along. If we hadn't had prostitutes called preachers lulling us to sleep with their nonsense behind the pulpit. Today's preachers are a far cry from the black-robed regiment, which was what they called the preachers of the 1700s and 1600s in the United States or in the colonies. They were called the Black-Robed Regiment by the British military because of their fiery speeches about liberty and justice and to resist tyranny. It was not only a requirement, it was a commandment from the Father. So, that's where we're at today. Now, a lot of people are now waking up to the fact that, as we have said many, many times, the beast that is mentioned in Revelation in the prophecies is government. And it's not just people in the bureaucracies, but it's the deep state, these bureaucracies of unelected bureaucrats. Remember what to Webster's dictionary, a public servant who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. In other words, they act like automatons. They don't think, they just perform like little robots without intelligence. That's a bureaucrat. That's what your government's full on. Our government today is a kakistocracy, which is a word in your dictionary based on the Greek. And it just means leadership or rulership by the wickedest and most evil amongst your society. Not your best, the worst of your people. And we're also in a kleptocracy, which again says that the people in charge or leading are thieves. So we're a combination of a kakistocracy and a kleptocracy at the same time. So these evil nitwits, automatons, cretins that run our governments are also tremendous thieves, which is like a biography for your average Zionist Jew in government and in the courts and in the legal professions and in medicine like Fauci. They are criminals chasing money. You gotta remember, to them, whatever makes money is their God. It's okay. Just right out of the Talmud, which is their holy book. Anything that they can do to get in power and to make money is okay. It's automatically a moral thing to do. Whereas we, the followers of Messiah, we know that's not true. So again, the show that was done today by Coach Dave Live, or Coach Dave Davenmere is his name, but he goes by CoachDaveLive.net or .com, I can't remember. You can find him on YouTube as well. He had a really good show today talking about all the things going on. He showed some of the things from the recent Health and Freedom Conference out there in the West. A lot of good speeches. A lot of good speeches. But words alone are not going to fix this problem. I hope everybody understands that. Words alone are not going to fix the problem. We've had plenty of time to do what Thomas Paine and many others did with common documents that were tacked up to the Liberty Trees and the colonies prior to George Washington and the colonial soldiers taking on the Redcoats. So we've had nearly 100 years of patriots sounding the alarm just as those patriots did back then. And as that quote I've read many times says, that if the writings of the founding fathers such as Thomas Paine had not been done first, the sword of George Washington would have been raised in vain. In other words, going to war prior to educating the people is ludicrous. Okay? It's insane. You have to educate the people who are going to do the sacrificing, the fighting, and dying. You have to tell them why it's important to fight. That's also a code of the warrior way. You don't just tell a bunch of guys to go bust doors down or hurt people without any moral justification. And only a fool would listen to a commander telling you to do that without knowing what's going on. And if they're telling you it's a secret you can't know, well, what are they hiding? Okay? The scriptures don't tell men or warriors going to do battle in such a situation. In ancient times, the commanders, the generals, the leaders, etc., would get in front of the whole body of warriors, and they would give a public speech about why they felt that it was time to go to war. Who the enemy is, what they had done wrong, why was this important enough to take me away from my family and fight and maybe die for? And then it was up to the warriors to decide whether this so-called leader was worthy of being followed into battle. Everything's very open. None of this hidden stuff. None of this, well, you know, we got to keep our plans and reasons all secret. You know, that's how the government has gotten away with all of the murdering and lying, cheating, stealing, and raping that they've been doing for decades, claiming it's national security. Well, I got news for you. They work for us. There should be no secrets, ever, under any circumstances. We can win a war, and if the enemy knows that we're coming after him, who cares? Who cares? We're going to do at the ground level whatever it takes to beat the enemy. Now, if a local fire team wants to do something and not tell anybody about it, that's okay. They don't need to, because the whole army has committed to the battle to defeat the enemy. So if little bands of men or a brigade or a company of men want to go do something and not give out what they're doing exactly, then that's a battlefield decision. What I'm talking about is back home where your, quote, leaders are, you'd better have transparency. You better be up front. And here's the other thing, too. If we go to war with somebody, like we did in the Middle East against Iraq, and we come to find out that our illustrious criminal leaders had lied to us about the justification for going into there, they get hung for treason. They don't get to make speeches, write books, and live out a comfortable life when our sons and daughters are dead on a battlefield because of their complicity in a big lie and a hoax. There has to be accountability. You got to remember, anybody who takes the oath of office to be a public servant, they're held to the higher standard, not you and me, because we don't have the power to send somebody to die. We don't have the power to take somebody's life or incarcerate them for life. We don't have that power as individuals. We entrust the people that are, quote, public servants, such as sheriffs and police officers and military officers and military men in general, we allow them to have a certain amount of authority because they have taken an oath to regard our rights and that they understand they are in the position of a public servant, not our masters. And because of that trust that we give them, they are held to a higher standard, not a lower one. And their lives, by necessity, need to be transparent to us. So that if they transgress that trust, then they are punished twice what you and I would be. For instance, the Old Testament requirement that if you steal from your neighbor, let's say in this case you stole his car, well, when you get caught, you owe that original car back to the neighbor unharmed, and you need to go buy another one of equal value and give it to your neighbor as punishment. You don't go to prison, you don't go to jail, you don't pay a fine. That's bullshit. That just ingratiates the state. The criminal's the beast. Where is their punishment? Where is their restitution to the victim? There isn't. But I'm going to tell you, you'd have a lot less car thievery going on if when you're caught, you've got to give the original one back. You don't go to jail. You don't get three squares a day. You don't get a cot. You go to work every day, and a portion of your pay goes to pay for that first car and a replacement car. That's your punishment. If you wreck the car, you might owe two or three more cars, depending on what the elders rule in the case. But you don't get to sit on your ass. You don't get to eat at my expense. You're out there working and paying off your crime against your neighbor. And the neighbor is recompensed for his being the victim, not you and I or the state. It makes perfect sense. The Bible makes a lot of sense. If we lived that way, we'd have a lot less crime. We'd all be a lot happier. We'd have far less bureaucracy, far less criminals, etc., etc. But, you know, nobody's talking about that. That's the one thing that amazes me. With all these conferences and all this bullshit going on, how many people are saying, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to live under God's law again? Instead of thinking men are going to fix the problem, wouldn't it be interesting if we lived under the King of Kings rules that he's already laid out for us that have worked perfectly when they're instituted? How many people are saying that? They keep talking about, well, we need a party, the Republicans, or we need Donald Trump and his regime to save us. When No, we don't. You and I have the power to live our lives free as free men and free women without them. We have the power to organize common law courts and grand juries. We can work with the local sheriffs and the local militia to set up citizens' grand juries and go after these sons of bitches. Wouldn't that be something to behold? Local sheriffs working with the militia and actually go after some of these corrupt lawyers and judges and doctors and government officials that have committed treason and rape and murder and kidnapping. Ho ho! And drag their asses out into the street and hang them. I don't know about you folks, but I'd love to see that. I'm tired of watching innocent men, women, and children dying and being taken advantage of by all this bullshit. How about the real criminals of the world be drug out there? The ones that wear suits and go into courthouses. The ones that wear suits and go into the prison system or the administration or the Pentagon or the White House or the congressional buildings or in the state capitals. You know, those guys. Wouldn't it be nice to see some of them dangling from a rope for their crimes? I think it'd be great. How about the media? How about the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube? Wouldn't that be kind of cool if they were caught lying, distorting, obfuscating, censorship, and at any time those acts led to the death of an innocent person? That's murder. All it has to do is happen one time. One time, any of these Zionist pigs in charge of the media, because of their lying and distorting the truth, caused one child or one woman or one man or one soldier or one police officer to lose their life. That's murder. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy, but I think it'd be wonderful to see real justice on this earth. Are you guys ready for some real justice instead of all this bantering about speeches and all the bullshit about, well, we're going to tell the truth about 9/11. It didn't happen. 2 decades later, still don't know it. We're going to tell the truth about Las Vegas. Still don't know it. How about the truth about the Fort Lauderdale shooting at the airport? No, that was a false flag. Don't have the truth on that one yet. How about Randy Weaver and what happened at Ruby Ridge? How about what happened at Waco? How about what happened at Oklahoma City, 9/11, and all the rest? Still don't have it, do we? And who murdered our president, John F. Kennedy? They know who did it. Just like Cody Snodgrass gave the interview about Oklahoma City. They know who did it because they paid for it. They orchestrated it. They supplied the demolitions to bring the building down. Elements of our own government. They know damn well who did it. And the Israelis are up to their eyeballs in all of this shit. Real criminals paying for their crimes. Wouldn't that be something? Angel says here, a good movie is The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that again. It was years ago. She also puts in here, government gets free labor from the prisoners. Yeah, the prison... prison industries is what they call it. Yeah, it's a crime. Absolute crime. The whole prison. Nothing in the Bible about putting people in prison. You can put them in a jail simply to hold them until their trial. Trial is to happen almost immediately. All it takes is time to get the elders together and both sides to present their evidence. That doesn't take more than just days. Okay? That's it. Justice denied is justice, or justice delayed is justice denied. So even the Constitution says a fair and trial. I have a friend from the American Legion. He was falsely accused of raping a underage girl by the mother. It took 2 years for his case to come to trial. He spent 2 years in a jail, even though they lied, before it even went to trial. He spent another 2 years in jail afterwards before he got his legal team to prove that these people had lied. 4 years of his life under false allegations of rape by a teenager and her mother. Now, if we had biblical law, first of all, why would that happen when the mother and the daughter, if they knew that we were under biblical law and that if they got caught lying, that they would be executed? Do you think they would lie as much as they do? And how many of these men who actually do rape would rape if they knew they were not going to go to jail for 4 years, but they were going to hang? I think we'd have a lot less rape. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we'd have a lot less. And we'd have a whole lot less repeat offenders. I'll guarantee you that. And we'd have a whole lot less of false allegations of rape if the perpetrator of the false allegation knew that they were going to be hung when they were found out to be lying. You see, the Bible does make a lot of sense. Our Heavenly Father is not stupid. He created this world, He created us, and He knew the rules that you have to live by if you want a prosperous and safe society. Our Founding Fathers knew that. That's why most of the Constitution and the laws of the colonies were based on biblical law. That's why America became the great nation it did. Biblical law. It's only when white people become the dumbasses that they are and they start listening to these Zionist, communist pigs that infiltrate our societies and pump their Talmudic bullshit into our heads, and we believe it. We allow them to make us feel guilty for being white. We allow them to make us feel guilty for putting murderers to death and rapists to death and traitors to death. Why? Because Jews commit a lot of those crimes. A lot of the so-called white crimes around the world are actually Jewish crimes, not white at all. But you see, because a lot of Jews appear to be white, even though they're not, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. So they appear to be white, but we get blamed for their nefarious activities when in fact it is they that are committing the crimes. And they love to mix it up. They want to be separate from whites when it suits them, but then they want to be lumped in with us when it comes time to pay for the crimes, such as slavery. Who owned the ships and who made the money bringing black slaves to America? Jews out of London. That's who. Yeah. But you see, they, white men did it. No, white men didn't do it. Jews did it. Jews and whites are not the same. You can go find tons of Jewish information and Jewish rabbis who will attest to the fact that we are not them and they are not us. They'll even attest to the fact that they are not the Israelites of old. They are Israelis, not Israelites. They are not the Hebrews of old. They are the sons of Cain. Devil's in the details, folks. And we're paying a heavy price for it right now. I'm going to try to get Scott McKay on, since he was at that big conference, and give us a first-hand accounting of what he saw there and everything else. He's put out some information lately that it was an epiphany event for him. So it'd be very interesting to hear what he has to say about that. Mr. Jan Lamprecht of South Africa just put out an article, and he's in a big struggle trying to prevent the Jews over there from throwing him in jail for being an outspoken white man trying to protest what's happening to the white people in South Africa. But he put out one that he has never seen so much white resistance as he has seen here lately. And I believe it's the fake pandemic is finally getting to the white people. That's what it seems like. I could be wrong, but it does seem that way. So if anybody has information pro or con to that, certainly share it, either on air or off air, and I can put it up on the website or send it around to my mailing list. Perilous times, folks, perilous times. Now, there's a lot of consternation right now that things are just ugly, they're getting uglier, and they're not going to get any better and all that. Didn't Messiah tell us that the end of the age would be like this, a great shaking in the heavens and the earth? We've talked about that in the Greek language of that text. It's talking about not just like earthquakes, tsunamis, and strange weather. It's talking about in society. For instance, verses that talk about men becoming lovers of self instead of lusts, so thick you can cut it with a knife. People lose their natural affection. Yeah, they sure have. They don't even care about their own children. They don't care about their neighbor. They don't even care about themselves, their own race, their own future, their own destiny, their own culture. They don't care. Apathetic to a fault. So he said, you're going to see all this calamity, but don't be forlorn. Because it's then that you're to look upward and know your redemption is near. We don't know how exactly he's going to do it. But do we need to know that? Do you and I, as his children and his servants, do we need to know what the master's plan is, step by step? Or do we just need to know that it's his plan, and it will come to fruition? All we have to do is what we can do within our own circle of influence on a daily basis, day by day. That's why he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Let today's worries and troubles be sufficient unto themselves. Why? Because tomorrow is tomorrow. How about just focusing on today? And let the past go. Put the past behind you. Worry about today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. I remember when I was getting John Birch material back in the 1980s, back in my world, I'd never heard of some of the things those authors were writing about. And I remember thinking that this was all going to come to an end back then. I was storing water, jugs of water under my porch. I had foodstuffs put up. I had all kinds of weapons and ammunition. That was clear back in the 1980s. And yet here we are, it's 2021, and we're still here. So that's why I'm saying, don't get caught up in all the negativity. That's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants. Angel says here, if it was not for television, the pandemic would be over. Well, that's why I like that meme that shows the two Amish men and somebody's interviewing him saying, why hasn't the pandemic affected the Amish communities? And the two Amish men look at him and say, because we don't have television. I grew up in Amish country, and yeah, that's true. They don't. They don't watch television. They actually don't have very many modern, quote, conveniences with all the strings attached that everybody thinks we have to have. I'm telling you, those strings that are attached, they cost you a lot more than you know. So the beast is being revealed. People are starting to wake up to the fact that governments are not our friends. They're not, folks. Governments are bureaucracies full of usually very low IQ, greedy men and women who couldn't get a decent real job to save their ass. So they go to work for the government because they have low requirements, low oversight. And I know because I've worked for the Department of Energy. I've worked in the Department of Defense, in both of them. I worked at the Savannah River Project under the Department of Energy back before DuPont. It was run by Westinghouse afterwards. DuPont owned it, and then they sold out to Westinghouse. I was working there when that happened. And the interesting thing was DuPont sold out, Westinghouse took over, and the same people were in charge. There was a small change of some of the higher-ups, but down in the trenches and the project manager levels, same exact people. They just took off a DuPont hard hat and put on a Westinghouse hard hat. Same people. Same stupidity, same nonsense went on as it did before. And it's not to say they're not good people and don't have good hearts, but They're not the sharpest tools in the shed. They sure as hell didn't try to accomplish a whole lot. It was truly a government project. The average person's attitude was, I showed up for work, that's all that's required. And I mean that literally, people. They literally would say it. Getting something done in an 8 to 10 hour day was not the priority. It was simply, I showed up, I'm in my chair, or I'm at my workstation, there, I've earned my money for the day. It was one of the most frustrating jobs I've ever had in my life. Anybody who is anybody that wants to get something done, you will be frustrated as hell working for the government. That's why it's lunacy to think that the government can run anything efficiently. They can't. By its very nature, it can't. There's no incentive. It's poorly run. And again, we'll get back to what the Bible teaches about monarchy. And I know everybody doesn't want to hear it. I'm going to still talk about it. There's a reason for a monarchy. There really is. And you people need to educate yourself about a biblical monarchy. It is not the same as a dictatorship. Okay? A biblical monarchy is quite different. A biblical monarchy is exactly what Yahshua is going to be when he comes back. He sits on a throne. There's only one form of government that has a throne. That's a monarchy. Okay? That's exactly what Yahshua is coming back as. I have yet to have anybody explain to me how they're going to tell him when he gets here that he can't sit on the throne because we don't like monarchies. I haven't had anybody explain how they're going to do that yet. I haven't seen anybody line up to be the first to talk to him and tell him he's wrong for sitting in that throne because monarchies don't work. I can't wait to see the people who try to tell him that. It's easy to tell me that because I'm just a man. So it's easy to point the finger and go, Dan, you're crazy. Monarchies don't work. Of course, democracy doesn't work either. And your constitutional republic didn't last even 100 years. So they don't work either, folks. Take a look at the mess the world's in. So you're thinking a biblical monarchy doesn't deserve a chance? When there's plenty of examples of Christian monarchies that did work. And you might want to take a look at the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, those nice, friendly neighborhood Jews, and what they wrote over 100 years ago about one of the first targets in the takeover of the world is to destroy the Christian monarchies. Now, you would have to ask yourself, why do they want to destroy them if they're so bad and ineffective? Why? And it's the same thing with the patriarchal family. I get all the naysayers. Well, that was a different time, Dan, and people were different, and women were raised different, and men were different, and everything was different, Dan. It's just different. You know what I mean, Dan? It's just different. Okay, so it was different, and the scriptures and Messiah and the prophets and the ancestors are all wrong. Common sense and logic is thrown out the window. And the death of our race is to be embraced because, by God, Dan, we stayed monogamy only right to the bitter end. I'm sure we got a reward in heaven for that. Really? I want to be there with my popcorn and my drink watching when you stand in front of that white throne giving that explanation to them. That's going to be something to see. So, again, you can attack me all you want. I really don't care. I get plenty of people that want to throw barbs and call me names and you're crazy and blah, 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 blah. I've never once told anybody that I was perfect. Never once. never once said, I want all the glory or any of that other garbage. No. I'm one of the crowd. I'm one of you. Part of the family. And yes, I have a unique point of view, and I have a unique life in that not too many people have been down the roads I've been down. That doesn't make me better than anybody else, doesn't make me smarter than anybody else, but it does give me a completely different point of view. And that's why he told us to work together and put line upon line, precept upon precept, because you also have a unique set of values and experiences in your life. And when we put all that together, we become much wiser. We work together as a team. Let's figure out what we've been doing wrong and let's fix the goddamn problem instead of sitting around moping and asking a bunch of low life, low IQ, low morality morons called bureaucrats to solve our problems. Or a bunch of guys that couldn't get any other kind of work and they're out there and they're going to get the job of defending us and protecting our families. That's our job. Each of us is men. That's our job. Doesn't belong to guys in uniforms with badges. No, it doesn't. Sorry, it just doesn't. And trust me, I've got plenty of friends and family in the corrections institutions and in law enforcement and in the military. And I was in the military. So I've got plenty of intel coming to me about the state of those institutions. I was there to see it for myself. And there's some good people in all of them, but there's also some very, very bad people. And again, why our Father commanded us to be responsible for ourselves. Okay? You don't have a right to pawn it off to somebody else and then sit around and bitch when things go crazy because you wanted to just sit in your ass at home and you can blame everybody else for your problems. I did like that Coach Dave and some of the other channels I was watching today, they're starting to tell their congregations the same thing. You got to get off your ass and get involved, folks. You don't get to sit back and put it on somebody else. Your acquiescence, your apathy is why we're in this situation. You're not getting involved. You're not standing up against this stuff. Is part of the reason we're here in this situation. We were never to be treating it as a spectator sport. Governing is to be done by the best of our people, and we the people are to keep them under our surveillance at all times. That's just the way it works. So again, we have lots of things to guide us to make this better and to fix the problems we have, but it takes action. It takes involvement. It takes education. You've got to bring yourself up to speed. It reminds me of the Founding Fathers. Why did they choose who the electors and people who could run for public office was a small group? It was white men who were free, who were also moral, of good character. Okay? They had qualifications. It's kind of interesting. The Florida Maquis had put out a map showing what the states would look like if only men voted. And almost every state of this union was red, meaning conservative, Christian conservative. A few, very few states would be blue. Very, very few. I think there was like three or four. That's it. Out of this whole country. Everywhere else it was solid red if only men voted. Now, what do you think would happen to that map if only white men who had skin in the game, which means they own property, who could pass a test on their moral character and knowledge of scripture, and who professed Christ as king? What if only those guys were making the decisions? What do you think the shape of the country would be in? I'll guarantee you that map would be solid red. And we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Angel puts in here that the chosen family of Jacob was polygamous. Yahweh never changes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Angel. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The enemy has politicized terms such as polygamy and white nationalism, things like that, because he knows the answers in those. Okay? And again, I'm going to tell you, if you've never read the book Eros, which is E-R-O-S, Eros, Made Sacred, that little book by James Stivers, S-T-I-V-E-R-S, I read that book. I interviewed James after reading the book. But it lays out the logic of the patriarchal family better than anything I've ever read. But how many people have read it? Just like Mike Hollimore of Kingdom Identity Ministries put out a 6-cassette tape series of lectures that also laid out the logic behind the patriarchal family. I mean, there's just no denying it. So if you either read the book or get Mike Hollimore's cassette tape series on that topic, you can't deny the logic. You just can't. You can get emotional if you want. You can say, well, I just don't like it. Well, you don't have to. I know that there's people that don't like being told they can't eat pork or can't eat shellfish. Well, that's between you and the Father. You're not going to affect me one way or the other. Okay? It's a personal thing. I'm not going to jump over on anybody. I never have and never will over what you eat and don't eat. I've got family members that scoff at what I say about the diets. Okay? Now, I'm the eldest in the family now. And even though I'm the oldest, I'm healthier than anybody else. Gee, I wonder why. Why would that be? Because by the time you reach my age, you're supposed to be getting ready to be fitted for the box, according to what they all think. I got news for you. I feel better now than I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's only because when Father reveals to me the truths, both in Scripture and in the world of natural health, I implement those things and find out that they do work. Isn't that amazing? Because, you see, I don't trust guys in white lab coats with stethoscopes around their neck. I don't trust them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to visit them. I don't want them to touch me. I don't trust those big brick buildings you guys call hospitals. I don't trust them. I got family that works in them, but I don't trust them. I don't want to put my life in their hands, ever. That's why I work very hard to stay healthy. Because I don't want to be in there, ever. And I don't think anybody else should either. But I also know most people aren't going to listen to me. They never have. Like I said, 21 years, and it's a relatively few people that have listened and paid much heed. But again, it's not no skin off my nose. What you do or don't do about the things that we talk about on this show. Sorry, folks, but it really isn't. It's not my job to wipe your nose or to placate you or be concerned if you're upset with me. As I've said many times, and I'm not trying to be belligerent about it. I'm just trying to tell you the facts. I don't care what you do or don't do. I really don't. I love lots of people. I want to see lots of people happy, healthy, prosperous, with no anxiety, no stress, happy to be alive, happy to do what we do for the Father on a daily basis, happy to reach out to each other and communicate and lift each other up. That's what I want to see. That's what I work for every day, and yet I've got grandchildren I haven't talked to in years. I've got children I haven't talked to in years. In this day when you've got cell phones and computers and internet and email, and there's less communication between family. I can't do anything about that. Neither can you. So why in the world would you sit around and worry about it? That's why each of us, our job to the Father is to make us the best we can be. Be the best man or woman that you can be in the image of the Almighty. That's what children of God means. Children who exemplify the attributes of the living God. That's what it means. You are to be a reflection of Him and His law. That's your mission, if you will, in this life. You can't blame anybody else. You can't. It's your responsibility. And then it's your responsibility to tell the truth to those who seek the truth. Unfortunately, not many do. I left a note on Coach Stavemir's program today. He sends a strong delusion on the people because they no longer loved the truth. It's really that simple, folks. If you don't love the truth, He will allow you to be deceived. And so the world is running around like chickens with their heads cut off right now. How many of these people with those dirty, stinking diapers on their face? How many people have actually put that poison in their bodies? It's unbelievable. Just like Christ said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? Apparently not much. They'd rather believe a Fauci. I mean, really, does anybody listen to that guy and watch him and not want to throw up? He is that despicable of an individual. Who on God's green earth would believe anything that came out of the mouth of that piece of shit? I mean, come on, really. The same thing for that female, Burks. Really? I would question any institution that actually gave them a certificate or a diploma. They're criminals. They belong in some dark alley somewhere with a bunch of organized crime figures. Actually, organized crime figures probably have more integrity than those two. And yet there's people that think they're telling them the truth. I mean, come on. Or the White House. And I'm talking about even during the Trump reign. You believe those people? Washington, D.C., you believe anything coming out of there? It's all a show. Trey Gowdy and Jim Jordan, it's all a show. Pelosi and what the hell's that other Jew's name? Peter Stroke, I guess. Can't think of his name right now. But, I mean, his face was on the tube all the time. All of them, liars and deceivers. Who in the hell would believe them people? It's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. Well, I've covered most everything I wanted to tonight. If somebody's got something they'd like to share or a question or whatever, please feel free to call in at this time. Let me get the queue fired up here so I can tell. Again, this is your platform as much as it is mine. And let's see here. I'm looking at... thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy up in Clearwater put up Coach Dave's website, CoachDaveLive.com. Thanks. Lane says here, you can buy Verstappen's books on digital for $35. Go to his website. Okay, I'll check that out then. I can get a hard copy for that same price on eBay. So it depends if you like reading it on a tablet or a Kindle, or if you like hard copy. Myself, I would prefer to read a book hard copy. I don't particularly like screens. I look at a computer screen enough. I don't need to read my books off that. I'd prefer hardbound copies. That's the old school in me. But anyway, the beast is revealing himself as the enemy of all mankind. It's amazing how many of our white nations have Jews all over their governments, all over their banking institutions, all over their medical establishments. Jew, 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 Jew. Just like CNN is all top three layers of management at CNN is all Jewish. And you wonder why they can't tell the truth? Why would anybody listen to any of these organizations? Why would you put any faith in government? Period. Any government. They're your enemy. They're not your friend. And these poor people in uniform that are obeying these governments and stripping people of their rights and doing these outlandish things to free men and women, all at the behest of these communist governments, one day that's going to cost you. You're getting away with it now because they're protecting you, but one day it's going to cost you. That's just giving you a prediction, okay? It's logical. It's logical. It's also historical. Go read about any time in human history when oppression gets to the point when the people have had enough. Who do they lash out at? They lash out those that symbolize the oppression, which will be what? Men and women in uniform. So if you're going to do the work of the communist masters, you will pay the price along with the communist masters. Just saying. It's on your heads what you do. If you want to step all over the people and dishonor their rights and push them around and kidnap them and help them lose their properties and put them in jail over false pretenses. If you're going to be part of all that, you have to know that someday you're going to pay for that. I mean, that's just common sense. And I have a feeling from what I'm seeing, those days are not far off. So again, it's just like the health stuff and everything else. You can do what you want. I know you're out there listening. You little spies, even you Israelis over there, I know you're out there listening. You've been warned. You've been warned. I myself, I can't do anything to anybody. But that doesn't mean that the words I'm speaking aren't a condemnation for you. It's no different than in biblical times when the prophets condemned and gave admonitions to those that were doing wicked and evil things in their day. It's being pointed out, it's being laid on your head. What you do about it, it's up to you. And if you choose not to do anything about it, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for all the tea in China, as they say. Greg, welcome to the program, buddy.
Praise Yahweh, Brother Dan. Sorry we didn't hook
Yeah.
up today. I know we kind of went back and forth a little bit.
Yeah,
Brother,
it's all
you're on a
right.
roll
Phone
today.
drag. Huh?
I said you're on a roll tonight, and
Oh.
how clear it has become that our seed line, we're in a heavy duty final, I don't know if it's the final stage attack, but we're under serious attack worldwide right now, and I hope. Well, if you don't see it at this point, I don't know that you'll ever see it, you know. How much more obvious can
Right.
it be that our race, the Caucasian race, the true Israelite race, it has been targeted for destruction? It always has been, but I don't think it's ever been more obvious or more organized and systematic than right now. I marvel at the worldwide nation by nation, society by society, government by government, organized attack. It's It's incredible. You know, I just read today that the country of Ireland is being replaced as quicker than here. And Negroes from all the third world are being flooded into Ireland and being granted Irish citizenship. You can be some third world sub-Saharan Negro in a year in Ireland and all of a sudden you're Irish. How is that even possible? You know?
Well, it's not. It's not.
Exactly. So. It shouldn't be possible yet. Well, I think you nailed it, brother. The beast is the government system. And, of course, a government system really is a system of individuals. I mean, you can never get away from Genesis 3:15, the seed line of the serpent, and how they have become so organized and so worldwide and so powerful and so infinitely financed. I mean, they have achieved a place of power that was actually prophesied. None of this should surprise us. This is prophesied that we would be in this moment. You quoted the verse earlier. When the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he find faith? It's a good question. We're getting our asses kicked here. I know we win in the end, but man, right now the boy's on top of us and doing the ground and pound. And I got a pretty serious bloody nose up here in New York, by the way. Just somebody's on top of me beating my face, and I don't like it. Brother, I love your show and your insight and your heart for our people.
It's what we
praise Yahweh for you. We're a mess, are we not?
Thank you, bud. Thank you.
Our people are just a disaster. By that, I mean me.
You're breaking up.
Can you hear me now? I'm going to move to another part of my house. I think I've been targeted. I was going to say, our people are a mess. I'm a mess. I don't know how to live in this time, to be honest. You know, our people should be ruling this earth.
Yep.
And Revelation tells us that in the coming age we will be. But right now the enemy's foot is literally on our neck. And it's hard to take it, you know. Satanic creatures, Jews, they're beating the crap out of us. And I don't know about you, but I hate it. I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I'm not good at dealing with it. Yet, we've been promised victory, and I 100% believe it. I don't care how bad it gets. I think it'll get worse than what it is now. But I will never lose my faith that we are going to win this thing. And when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets up his kingdom, it'll all turn around. It'll probably be so sudden, and we'll just like wonder what just happened, you know? I like to think it's coming up fairly soon. I'm going to be 66 years old here next June.
Uh-huh.
I still think of myself as middle-aged, by the way. It's funny, the older you get, the more you stretch the envelope on middle-aged. I can't think of myself as elderly yet. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, 60 is the new 40.
Yeah, 60 is the new 40, right? 40, late 30s. Mentally, I'm as sharp as I've ever been in my life. Physically, I'm not quite what I was, but boy, you live a while, you see a lot. You know, you grow up, you're born in the 50s, and you see the Jewish destruction of an amazing nation, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. It's almost like each decade was a new strategy.
Mm.
And now, you know, in the current decade, the 2020s, we have the transgender movement, we have the racial inequity, the reparations, the hate Whitey, Whitey's got to go, Whitey's evil. I mean, they couldn't have pulled this off 10, 20 years ago, but they've decayed the society like the parasite they are, and they've destroyed the foundation to the point where they can actually roll out this nonsense that the very people that founded this nation are the enemy. And few yep. seem to stand against the message. And wow, it's incredible to see it. I marvel yep. at what they can say and get away with.
Well, there
Instead
is
of turn
a
around, brother.
Right. There are embers burning below all of the.
Amen. No doubt about
know,
it.
In the ashes, there are embers that are burning. So just
without
a
doubt.
Yeah.
And massive flare-ups are coming.
Caller, we got Susan on the line. Let me.
They think we're laying down. They think they've kind of got their foot on our neck, and to some extent they do, but they have underestimated the firepower of the ancient Israelite race, the true Caucasian race on this planet. Brother, yeah. we're the divine children of Yahweh, and there's no way we go out quietly. Not a chance.
Yep.
Zero chance.
Yep, we got Susan on the line. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
I can't
Greg.
Hear you.
Hello, Greg, too. Wonderful. Can you hear me now?
Better, yes.
Can you
better.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Yeah, and you were mentioning firepower, and of course, that's been noted internationally, Greg. All that firepower is essentially based in 500-year-old Chinese gunpowder. And we've got, unfortunately...
I remember speaking to you the other night, by the way, Susan. Hello.
Yeah. It was wonderful. I loved it.
I knew. I remember it.
We've got a lot of unconventionals out there. And those are the things that nobody's looking at. I keep telling people, you know, you're being hit with lots and lots of information, lots of sensationalist facts, and maybe sometimes factoids. And these are taking your attention. So always be aware that you may be distracted. It may be a magician's mental trick, right? A sleight of hand, in this case, a sleight of mind control. Control spelled with that K, you know. And so when we kind of look at what's going on around us and we say, wait a minute, maybe I'm being distracted, we start to grow eyes in the back of our heads, which is where we need them, you know, from a real martial perspective. We need to be circumspect, 360 degrees. And so I don't take total comfort in the firepower of the U.S. I've asked lots of people what would happen if a SWAT tank, you know, came up, or a couple of them, a SWAT team with a tank or two in front of your home, and a medical team comes in and wants to do medical things to you that you don't want. And people don't have an answer to it. I think we need to actually sit down in a positive way, strategize, everybody put their heads together, and come up with some answers, because I think that there are answers there. And that's just one of the many kind of unconventional or semi-unconventional scenarios, right? We also have EWs and SWs and KWs and NBCs of all kinds, drones of all sizes, down to nano dust, and then of course the what are called thermo grippers on the PCR test probes, which ultimately
I'm surprised you know what those are. I actually know what those are.
Oh, yeah.
Are those not scary or what? Those are insane.
Yeah, that is very yeah. These are
the little pharmaceutical micro things that cling to the inside of your intestines and release whatever they want to put into you. Yeah, that's terrifying. Absolutely.
Right. Well, in this case also, they get, you know, if you're not ingesting them, instead if you're having a test rub up against your cribriform plate, then those thermogrippers are going to be in your brain ultimately. And how do they
yep.
connect then, for example, with the tiny thermal fibers that are being placed inside people's nasal passages and therefore ultimately in the brain by way of mask wearing, especially, you know, from the three Chinese companies that make the masks. And by the way, there's three Chinese companies that make the PCR tests too. So all of this is coming from China, just like firepower came from China. And I'm saying, wait a minute, there's other stuff out there, because we have to be, look, it's not hard to be smarter than the people that are sort of considered the smartest ethnicity on earth, which I don't believe at all. They're just the most evil.
Yeah.
We can be smarter mm-hmm. than them, and we can also be more spiritually pointed, you know, we can, and spiritually attuned, right, to in the right direction, so that we can receive that knowledge and the strategy at the times that we need it. I just think in practicality, I don't want to kind of just bemoan the situation that we're in, but rather be practical. Let's strategize. Let's put our heads together and say, okay, let's look at all these different kinds of scenarios and weaponry and so on, and let's come up with answers to them, because we can. But if we are completely focused on our firepower, we won't.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I have determined that I won't have any interaction with the medical industry anymore. No test, no, obviously I'm as anti-vaccination as it gets. I'm way beyond what you would term an anti-vaxxer. I'm like, that's the devil giving me the shot, so I'm just going to say no. But I agree with you. The mask, the test, nobody's sticking a thing up my nose. Get away from me with that. If I never fly again, then I never fly again. And, you know, we're at this point, we're hunkering down. You know, we're in war mode. Dan, you alluded to it earlier. You made some excellent references. We are currently, those of us that have, I don't like the term enlightenment, but those of us that Yahweh has opened our eyes, we are realizing that the attack against us is so severe that it's life-changing. I will probably never fly again on a jet. I will never submit to any test of anything up my nose, because I know that I don't like the concept of what you're doing. Obviously, nobody's going to inject anything into me for the rest of my life. And if it gets to a point where I have to submit to a shot or a bullet, then I take the bullet. And by the way, I throw a few out before I take one. Just saying. And, I mean, we're really separating the wheat from the chaff here in the coming days, I think. Who's serious? Who sees something? Who's willing to lay down their life? I don't believe in going out meekly, by the way. I just can't see it. If I go out, it won't be meekly. I hope it won't. I don't think it will. And
it's right.
Susan, I appreciate your insights. You take this, what I'm saying, in the right. For a woman, you see an amazing amount of wisdom, because the majority of our women see very little today, and you see a tremendous amount. A tremendous amount.
Thank you. Yeah, and I just, you know, perhaps there should be a special time when people can get together, some of us physically and then some of us not. And
such a challenge that is. Brother Dan, I consider Brother Dan one of my best friends on the planet. Do you realize I have never met him face to face? I don't like that. Dan, we got to change that. I'm just saying. But that's how, you know, that's the time we live in. I appreciate the spirit of Dan Johns, and I've talked to him many times. I've never met him. He's never met me. But we're brothers, and I consider him one of my best friends on the planet, yet I've never met him. That's the time we live in. That's what the enemy has done to us, is literally torn us apart from having the ecclesia, the meeting. Because we're at our strongest when we meet together. So keeping us apart is one of their main strategies, and it's been quite successful. I hate it, by the way.
And it means that they can interfere with, not only interfere with, they can surveil and interfere with anything, any of our plans, our strategy, right, in a practical sense. So
yeah,
that's why, you know, we need to try to get together physically and, of course, not have any phones or any other wireless implement with us and so on.
Anyway,
I
appreciate these.
I think
even these, you know,
up
I used to look down on these internet fellowships, but now it's all I have, and I've grown to appreciate them more. You know, I appreciate your show, Brother Dan.
Yeah, thanks. So I just want Susan to know that, at least at my end, part of what she said there at the end, I didn't hear it. Did you hear it, Greg?
It was a little garbled.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's my end that's the problem or whether it's Susan's transmission.
I'm not sure. Am I coming in okay?
It probably is the old phone cord. But what I was saying is that it's important that we strategize on these things, that we get together where we can physically, and otherwise, if we cannot, then we need to do things very carefully, and also no one can have any phone or other wireless device on the premises.
Oh, I Susan, think that goes without saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have wireless devices as far from you as you can find. Also, my neighbor showed me a detector that will pick up cameras and bugging devices that are near your home, and it's relatively inexpensive. You can even get them on eBay. But very, very nifty little device for finding hidden cameras and bugging devices and tracking devices attached to your automobile. So if anybody was interested in that, just email me and I'll send you a link to the one he uses, and I used it as well, and it seems to work pretty good.
Brothers, it's safe to say that our people, our kindred, have been targeted to be exterminated in the current moment. In our own country,
all of a sudden,
we're not welcome. It's incredible to me. It's like we're going to get to the point where having a white skin is a crime. It's a hate crime. I'm a white man. I go to the store. Oh, there's a white man. You know, we're heading that way.
That's what they're pushing. That's what they want.
That's exactly.
That's what they want. That's obvious. But,
and that's going
Susan,
on not, you know,
Susan wanted to,
every white nation on the planet, that's going on.
I know.
The satanic attack of brown immigration to destroy the population of the white nations, it's every single country. And, you know, of course we have it going on here with the lunatic dementia patient Biden. What a pathetic joke that is. Who knows who's running this country? Obviously it's Jews. It's probably a circle of rabbis. They tell Kamala what to do, and Joe, they give him pudding in the afternoon, and he does what they say. I mean, what a time we're living in. Incredible. Yeah, brother, I'm glad to be alive right now. I think we're going to see the end. I think we're going to see the kingdom come to this earth. I constantly think about the prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come.
Yeah.
Where? To this earth. You know, Judeo-Christianity is sitting there waiting for a rapture where they all think they're going to be zapped up to heaven. Are you kidding? That's never going to happen. Our destiny, our eternity is here. This planet, this earth, this is where we are going to spend eternity if we're overcomers. The kingdom will come to this earth. You know, heaven is not our destiny. I marvel when I occasionally run into some well-meaning but naive Judeo-Christian and goes, Greg, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Man, I have to subdue the impulse to grab them and do a judo throw and body slam them and then get in their face and go, you know, you're not going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven. It's earth. But I used to be there, so I don't do that. I know judo, by the way. And I said, listen, bro, show me one single verse in the Bible that says you're going to heaven. Show me one. Name it. Bring me one verse, and I will believe your doctrine. Show me one verse that says when you die, you're going to heaven. They can't, because there isn't one. Of course, they go, well, eternal life, where else is it going to be? Okay, that doesn't count. That doesn't say you're going to heaven, so we're getting real specific here. Dude, I've got a degree in Judeo-Christian Bible, man. I can rip any of those guys a new you-know-what. There is not one verse in the Bible that says when we die, we go to heaven. Our destiny is here, the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall die and go to heaven, right? Oh, I'm sorry, no. They shall inherit the earth. It's here.
Yeah.
It's here. That's why the war is here. That's why they're kicking our asses here. They want this earth for themselves. They want to destroy our seed line and prevent Jesus Christ from returning. It's, you know, once you see it, brother, you see it. Once you see it, you get it. There's just 99% of our people don't get it. They don't see it, you know.
Yep.
The war is here on this planet. Right now we're kind of in retreat, but all of a sudden it's going to turn around for us. But our eternity is here on this planet to rule this planet as kings. We will have the rod of iron to rule in the coming age. It's in Revelation.
Focus.
Somebody messes with you in the
17.
Coming age, you kick some serious ass. The Negro gets out of line, whack. That's it. Done.
Yeah. Hey,
done.
Greg, hold on a minute. Susan had something she wanted to say. Go ahead, Susan. You still there? Okay.
Not hearing her.
No. Susan,
am I allowed
there
to say Negro on your call? I said Negro.
Yeah. All right.
I could say worse. I mean, that's me being polite, to be honest. You know. But brother, this planet is where we are meant to be. This planet is our destiny. Heaven is not our future home. It's here. That's where the war is. And that's why the Jews are fighting so hard. They want this planet.
Yep.
You know? They want to steal our
inheritance.
Absolutely. They realize our inheritance is right here. This planet is our inheritance. We shall inherit the earth. They want to steal it from us. It literally does go back to Jacob and Esau. And they want to steal what has been given to us. They think they're getting away with it right now. You know, they're probably so confident right now. You know, they've got their dark minions almost with impunity attacking us at will and getting away with it. It will turn around.
Absolutely.
It's dark right now, though, isn't it? I've never lived in a darker time.
Yes,
now.
It is.
I'm not discouraged.
But it's also
this is talked about
before the dawn. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. We should expect this, and I think it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It may get so much worse. I'm not sure how much worse it's going to get. I don't want to think about it. But
We've
been told we will win. We will be victorious. And if the Bible is true, and of course it is, then we win.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say it ain't going to be dark at the end and that most of us may not survive. So, anyway, I appreciate the encouraging tone of your show. I need encouragement.
All right,
man.
Buddy. Any final
I live
comment?
In New York and I need encouragement. That's all I can say. And I'm overdue to visit and I'm going
right,
to try to make that happen. All right.
Yep. Hey, don't forget the Book of Enoch and Jasher. We gotta do something on that in the near future.
I agree, brother. We'll discuss that. And Enoch is all over this current moment. I mean, in exquisite detail. And his message is highly encouraging. And yet, he does say that most of the sheep will not survive. So we can explore that. But anyway, appreciate you letting me have a word tonight, and Yahweh bless, and praise Yahweh.
Absolutely. Take care, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. You
Bye-bye.
Too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Greg, and then Susan in Florida, and Pastor Greg up in New York. If you focus on all the bad things that are going on, it's not hard to be discouraged. However, as we talked about earlier in the program, there are good things happening. And as Greg alluded to the verses that talk about the remnant coming through the fire, and Christ himself talked about the overcomers, be an overcomer, that's up to you and I, folks. You're in that category. You're living those verses right now. You're living those verses. And you're going to see Malachi 4 and Obadiah 18 come to pass. This current generation, this current batch of Israelites, you're going to see it. Okay? You're in it. Whether you know it or not, you're in it. So you better wake up and smell the coffee, get serious, and most serious of all is your relationship with the Father. That is the most important thing for you to realize right now. He came to this earth, put upon flesh, and fulfilled a portion of his law so that he could remarry the idol-worshipping harlot that we Jacob Israelites had become, and we were divorced. And so he took on death only because that's what his law requires. It's not that he empowered Jews, or some people say, well, it's a death cult. No, it's not a death cult. He did that for a purpose, because his law required it. He could not remarry us until the husband died, because that's what the law requires. Once we have defiled ourselves with an idol and with fornication, we are not worthy to be the bride. The husband has to pass on and be like a new husband. That was the reason for it. We're not a death cult. Everybody says it's a death cult. No, it's not. We're here as warriors. We bring death to our enemies. It's not a death cult. He did that willingly, just like the warrior gives up his life to defend his family and the people he loves and his community. Okay? It's not a death cult. We don't worship death. We understand that death is sometimes required, and it may happen, but we don't worship it. I'm going to do everything I can to get my whole 120 years. I'm going to do everything I can to bring death to my enemies. Not to me and not to the people I love. To my enemies and those who violate Yahweh's law. That's what we're supposed to do. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for the technological advances that allow us to reach out and share with each other. We look forward to the days when we will have safe energy and safe devices to continue this work of communication and uplifting and education of our people. We look forward to the suppressed technologies that will bring health and wellness to our people and vitality and prosperity and bring this earth back into balance, because she is polluted and poisoned by these mercantile merchants headed up by the worst of them all, the Jew. But they have turned many of us into proselytes, just as bad or even twice the children of hell as they are. Our people worship money. They worship material. Those who repent of this, Father Yahweh, we ask that you bless them, bless their activities, and that we know that all things work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to his purpose. It's not just enough to love the Father, folks. You have to be the willing vessel that will do the work of the Father here on this earth. If you haven't turned yourself into a willing vessel, then you're only halfway home. Stop worrying about what the New World Order and all these kikes are up to, and start worrying about what you are doing in your own walk with the Father. And Father, we ask that you also lift up those who are in the right frame of mind and in the right place spiritually, that you would give them strength and honor, give them good discernment, give them wisdom, and give them empathy for their fellow man. And we just pray that you would come back soon and take that seat upon the throne and end all of the nonsense, the bickering and the fighting and the deception and the lying, and certainly the rape and the murder and the war. None of these things are of you. So we pray for that kingdom period to come soon, and for the wicked to be tread upon and to be put into the ground where they belong. Guide us, forgive us our sins, and protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.